This is December 20th, 1987, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And a happy and peaceful Christmas to you, Bartholomew, wherever you are. So then, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm pleased to be here. This is the time of the year that you refer to as the segment of the 12-month series to give and to receive. And if you think about it historically, in the history of this planet, it's always been at the time of the winter solstice, whatever the tradition of consciousness, in the time of the winter solstice, things begin to change in the human psyche. It is not just, you know, there's all this discussion, was Jesus born in December? Well, you know, it doesn't matter when he was born, because what would have happened anyway is you would have found a way to have a wonderful, deep, inner space created in this time of the year to celebrate the inner landscape. Now, what I'm here to say to you is I would like to present you with a gift that you can give yourself. There is nothing like giving yourself something that is meaningful, that will begin, if used, to change your life. Now, since there are a minimum of Mercedes that I'm able to give out, I thought I would do something a little less flashy, which is this. Please decide in this upcoming year to begin to believe with as much of your being as you can that there is an inner landscape within you that is filled with people, figures, remembrances, powers, gods and goddesses, whatever you want to call them, that are available to you on a conscious level if you would choose to do so. Now, the one wonderful, empowering part of the consciousness of the inner landscape that I rarely hear talked about, which is what I'd like to talk about today, has to do with what is called the archetype, if you like that word, the power of the miraculous. There is an archetype of the miraculous. I find it very interesting that one of the main forms of communication with the deeper world has come out as the teaching called, of course, the Course in Miracles. And when people ask, where did it come from, wanting to know if it was Jesus and so forth, what I see constantly is it came right out of that wonderful part in each one of you that could be labeled the archetype of the miraculous. You see, there is a part in you that is connected to and has available to it something called the miracle worker. In all of the tarot and so forth, what I have not seen, and perhaps one of you can come up with one, is the archetype of the miracle worker. Quite aside from all of the other strands of power that are represented, the miracle worker is alive in the inner planes of the psyche and really would like very much to have a greater play in your world. Now, my friends, the miracle worker is one of those parts of the psyche that operates even if you are totally ignorant of it. And you know it because in your life, day after day, time after time, something happens and you say, oh, that's a miracle. Or you say, oh, that seems extraordinary. Or, oh, that feels something otherworldly. God has begun to move in my life in some way. It can be a very small thing. It can be something as small as a synchronicity. You know, synchronicity is getting a very good rap out there. And I would like to say that I think the miracle worker should be getting a lot of the credit. All right? Now, what do I mean by that? There is this idea, because you believe yourself to be linear, there is this idea that you walk down the road of life and that people intersect with you just at magic moments, just happen to walk in and fall over you on the road or throw a rock at you or run into your car or whatever it might be, and you say, oh, it's synchronicity. You know, you're walking along in your life and you lose your job, and within 2 days you've gotten a new job that's even better than the one that you lost. You say, synchronicity. Well, what I'd like to suggest to you is to begin to dwell on and begin to be grateful for an incredible power source called the miracle worker. has had other names traditionally and so on. But just for this day, let us use those terms. Now, I mean something very specific about this brand of power. It is a wonderful source of power that calls very deeply to the deepest part of your consciousness. Now, my friends, look. I've told you until you're all ready to scream that you are a psyche. You are spherical. Now, parts of your conscious mind have very close access to some of these inner pressures, these inner wonders. And the miracle worker is one of those that's very, very close to your conscious mind. Now, I will be very frank with you. When you are looking for that very deep symbol of the divine consciousness, which resides in every one of your consciousness, there is a symbol that is very deeply within you that represents in its fullness the wholeness of your search for the divine, and it's inside your consciousness. That takes work. You're going to have to get in there in some very magic way. Ah, welcome home. So pleased to see you. So pleased. All love. So, it is so far away from the conscious mind that you have to really contrive to pay close attention to dive down into and pull up this pearl of incredible beauty and wonder. Absolutely beautiful. But that is not what we're talking about when we talk about the realm of the miracle worker. What we're talking about now is something very close to the consciousness, because you can see it playing back and forth in your daily life all the time if you are so inclined to pay attention. Now, what difference does it make? I will tell you something. Many of you are suffering from very deep doubt. Very deep doubt. You have done all the right things. You have read all the right books. You have done all the right visualizations. You have done the prayers. You have done everything that you can think of. You've even changed your diet. And still there is... I always do this for Dr. Aiken. He and I have a game with this one. Good morning. But yet, in spite of all of that, that opening of consciousness, that burning in the heart, that clarity in the mind, eludes you and eludes you ever, ever yet again. And you go to bed in the depression, and then in the night, as we've discussed before, you connect with the deep source, which invigorates your journey. You awake the next morning and say, all right, I'll try again. All right, I'll try again. This kind of feeling. Now, when you have that kind of deep depression within you, it's a state of hopelessness, a state of, it doesn't seem to matter what I do or what I try, I still remain basically to have this state of consciousness. What you have not been able to do, my friends, is to observe the hundreds of times in each day that the divine miracle worker interfaces with your conscious life. The difficulty is, of course, you're paying such attention to your difficulties, trying to climb up over all those obstacles and all those incredible fences that you've built between yourself and other, between yourself and money, between yourself and good health, or just a good disposition, or whatever it is that's your particular brand of courage and needing to transcend. When this kind of attention is paid so clearly along those lines, you can be covered with beautiful flowers and not even smell them, and not even know that they're there. And the delight of the miracle worker is to, you talk about out of the mists come the fairy dust of consciousness. In all of the really great stories for children, there is fairy dust, comes out of nowhere, and is sprinkled on the child, and the child has a different sense of being. The world no longer looks the same. In the very old myths, when they pulled this out of the psyche of the world, the child would awaken with new eyes, with new vision, would see the doldrums of the life as now new and transcendent and luminescent and beautiful. It is very old tradition, steeped in your worldly knowledge. And so I ask you to begin to incorporate and to play with a conscious relationship with this miracle worker within. Now, when you do this day after day, putting out all of your awareness to watching for it, hearing for it. My friends, listen. You can hear this particular sound. Again, I repeat, hearing the sound of the spheres is difficult. I grant you that. But this particular sound that comes from this archetype that is so close, you can hear it in many ways. You can hear it in the wind. You can hear it in the snow as it falls. You can hear it in the sound of someone's voice as they're speaking when you learn to look for it instead of just listening to the words. You can hear it in the engine of your car. as you move down the highway. You can hear it in anything that you do, in the walk of your feet on the grass. You can hear it anywhere. It is so close. It is one of the things that brings up that wonderful phrase, it is closer than hands and feet. And you say to me, lots of things I would like to have, but what I really need is to know that that amazing oneness is closer than I think it is. And this is the gift then of your own expansion into consciousness, is the miracle worker who never, ever fails because you can hear it at all times. Now, for those of you who are truly serious about this, as you approach this time of the giving and the sharing, if you would take time to give yourself the gift of at least one evening between now and the time the Christmas season ends, if you could isolate yourself from others just for a few hours and have in front of you a piece of paper with a circle on it and some kinds of method of coloring, whether it be crayons or pencil or, you know, 100 different colors, whatever be your particular way of approaching these things, and begin to feel within you, as best you can, the desire to be close to the miracle worker within you. And then allow the color and the shape in some kind of form to come out for you on that paper. And you say, I'm not an artist. I'm going to say the miracle worker doesn't care. All it wants is to make some kind of a conscious connection. Now, if you cannot do that well, if you really do have within you some kind of a basic belief, you know, your second grade teacher said, this is terrible, you'll never be an artist, and there you go. You'll never be an artist. And of course, it's very doubtful that your second grade teacher was an artist. But that has nothing to do with it. Everyone is a critic, you know, everyone is a critic. All right, so if that is really beyond you, if there is something that you simply cannot bring yourself to do in that sense, please, my friends, then use what you have, which is the gift of words. No one in this place does not have the ability to bring out of the depths of the inner landscape some words to guide you. And if you just begin, again, please, not on a square piece of paper. The difficulty is you're all, those of you who write, are very used to writing, and you keep writing in pretty much the same way, which is why I like to startle by asking you to do something different. This is a world of writing. So I ask you to go into the art world of shape and form and color, which is another world removed, which then gives you a chance to listen with new ears. Because the old way of writing begins to sound very much the same. If you go back and look at your work, say, 3 or 4 years ago, ask yourself carefully, is there any shift? Have I really begun to use a different vocabulary? Because the vocabulary that comes out of the inner landscape doesn't sound like the conscious mind. It says some very outrageous things. It says things that you, oh, I got to burn that page. You know, it's that kind of response. It's not this, oh, yes, yes, and you leave it out for someone to read on your coffee table. You know, the inner landscape does not talk that way. When you first begin to work with it, in fact, it can be quite cruel. Quite cruel in the sense that it's an accumulation of material that you have been taught never to say. And so it, when it first begins to show itself to you, does so in words that are not always, you know, socially acceptable at the governor's ball. And so be it, because it has something to say and it wants to begin to say it. So as you begin to work with it, if you can just move to another way of doing it, another opening, another doorway if possible. But if you do find words are appropriate, just move to that part of your being that we would call the unseen. The unseen world does not sound like the conscious world. That's why it's unseen. You see, it's no good talking to a part of you that just says everything you already know. Why should you even bother? That is not the function. If you put it away and say, oh good, thank you, I understand, that's just wonderful, and you are patting yourself on the back, the chances are that you're talking to some part of your conscious mind. You are not talking to that part of you that really wants to say something. Now, the miracle worker wants to say some things like, where have you been? I have been yelling and screaming, and have you got plugs in your ears? And it may not even want to talk to you at the beginning, because after all, you have been ignoring it. I am being very literal. You've been ignoring it for many, many years, perhaps even lifetimes, and so it's been sitting over there doing its job. You know, if you have someone working for you and you never even know they're there, you never pay them, you never acknowledge anything, you simply go on expecting, you can imagine how they would feel when you finally turned around and said, well, what do you have to say? And they'll say, you sit down, I have something to say to you. And then it will begin to share. So the first part, and those of you that are very, very afraid of emotion, this is a good way to begin to move into that wonderful realm where life begins to move in a very different way. As you begin to address this and to ask it to speak to you, you say, what do you have to say? And then you listen. But my friends, the second place is you've got to put it out on some kind of, either through paper, through words, or through some kind of form or shape or color. Do not just let it go around and around in ever moving circles in your consciousness. Now, why? Your physical body is the process. It's that piece of equipment through which you become aware of all of the different parts of your psyche. Now, if you were to go home today and die, the moment that you did so, you would realize that you are no longer limited in the same way, that all of those parts of the psyche that you thought were so hidden were rather sitting around, you know, like in the, at the table, waiting for you. I'm not recommending you all go home and die. It's not my recommendation. But when it does happen, then you realize that those things that you thought consciously were so far from you are very, very close. And what is the mode in today's world of building the bridge? It's through inner words. It's through getting those words out, either in some written dialogue form, or those of you who can, through color and shape and so on. This inner landscape is going to make its way known into your life, no matter what you do, my friends. It will lose you your job, your lover, your health, your car. It will do whatever it needs to do to get your attention. It will have its way, because it's on your side. Because it knows that whether you have remembered that you're going to be whole, that's what the journey is, to be whole, even if you forget, the rest of your friends hanging around here haven't forgotten. And they're very, very eager whenever there's an opening to give a little push. Just a little push. And one of the prime pushers in your life is the miracle worker. So, when you have this sphere in front of you, and if you're choosing either to put in the words or to put in the colors, try as best you can, please, to allow it to take shape for you in some way outside of yourself that is easily accessible. For example, for some of you, it will be a certain shape. It may come out of the natural world. It may come out of the geometric world. It will come out of one of the worlds that you are perhaps familiar with. For those of you that use words, put out many of them, because you see, the conscious mind will present all the obvious ones, and then the unconscious will begin to bring things out of its depths. And when you get this out in its spherical form, if you can begin to make contact with it, make it real, make it alive, so that instead of dawdling around thinking, oh, I wonder what I'll have for dinner, pull it in. Pull in the shape, the color, the word, the sound, the life. It is a life force resonating in your psyche, available at any time. And the more that you do this, especially in times of stress, you will find the miracle, whatever that means to you, beginning to take form in your life. Example, here you are having the 187,000th fight with your mate, whoever that is, or with your child, or with your dog, or with your car, or with your boss, or whoever this might be. And whether you're doing this mentally or verbally, it doesn't matter. Because many of you have a lot of fights that you never talk about. You know? All the ones that go around. Do you know what I mean? Well, if I was to say something, this is what I... And you find you have had many, many fights. Those of you who have employers that you don't like, I think that you will find you have had a tremendous amount of dialogue with them, although he or she may not have heard any of it, at least consciously. Nevertheless, the dialogue has gone on abundantly. Now, the problem with that kind of dialogue is nothing is ever finished. It's just your side of it. You're putting out your energy. And very rarely do you stop in midstream and say, oh, just a minute. Since I'm having a dialogue, there's someone else here. Perhaps that person needs to say something to me. If you want to be courageous and break through some of those obstacles, I suggest you simply ask them what they would have to say if they were to have a chance to say something honest and frank to you. I'm saying this lightheartedly, but nevertheless, it stands as one of the best techniques for those of you that do not feel that it is useful to say these things directly, and it often is not. I'm not suggesting you go to work tomorrow and tell your employer all of the things that you have been saying in your mind. I do not. There's no use being unemployed when the Christmas season is so close to fruition. But nevertheless, there are, whenever you are having a dialogue with anyone, someone in your past, realize that they have something to say that may be healing. Do not assume that what you experienced 5 years ago, 10 years ago in those dialogues are still what's going to be said. You might find they have something quite different to share. Quite different, but they need a chance. And I don't mean on the verbal, physical speaking. I mean deeply within. You have been told, whether you like to believe it or not, you are all connected. You are connected by amazing cords of power and wonder and beauty. It's called the reticulata. It's the network of human consciousness. And each one of you is connected to everyone within it. So you can go to Bali and still be here. It doesn't matter. You can go wherever you want. You will still be here. But you can also go to Bali. Why not? So don't ever be afraid to go anywhere and try anything, because the connections will always be there. You can even die. I give you all permission to go home someday in the next 100 years and die. And it will be fine, because all of the connections will still be there. All of those wonderful networks of consciousness are still very, very closely intact, and you will be able to see them with your eye of your being as soon as the physical body is no longer there. But as you begin to become aware of the necessity to speak these things to others deeply within you, you begin to become alive that there is someone providing some kind of a miracle for you. In it, things that you have taken 35 years to create can be dissolved in a matter of days. Do you consider that a miracle? It is a miracle, and it can be done. What it takes is the openness to sit and allow those inner landscapes to become alive, to call in. Everyone needs an advocate. And the best advocate on the conscious level for your conscious work has to be the miracle worker. And when you call on that advocate to be present, the delightful thing about it is the only advocate I know that stands for both you and whoever you are in a state of confusion with. It does not take sides. It does not take sides. But what it does is to stretch your consciousness so wide, to pour into the moment, because you've asked it, to pour into the moment this wonderful, abundant energy so strongly that you honestly don't feel the same way that you did. It isn't that you want to feel better, that you hope to have understanding, that you would like to have compassion. It begins to happen. Look, I've told you over and over again, you are doorways to consciousness. The kinds of doorways that you open determine the kinds of consciousness that you experience. That's it. So if you're going to sit there and grumble, then you are going to, in your grumbling, fill the area around you with grumbling energy. And the difficult thing is that everybody gets stuck in it. You know, your dog and your cat and anybody who walks in participates now in the grumbling energy. And if people get up and leave, you might ask, I wonder why. Does it have anything to do with the things I was thinking 5 minutes before they walked in? Be aware of the connections about the area around you and be responsible. But the moment that you become serious about the delight of the miracle worker and how it can explode in your life, then you begin to feel it happening. And what happens, of course, is you begin to believe in the inner world. Those of you who are despondent, who say, I never can, I can't, I can't, if you'll just begin to allow yourself to see and hear and feel, always looking for the miracle worker, you will begin to see it in the simplest things, in someone's eyes, in their smile, in how they walk, in the way the sky looks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There is a doorway that is created. And we talked about last time the difficulties of the Christmas time. And someone said that they didn't want to separate themselves from their problems. And I absolutely agree. It was a very wise man. And he asked if I had meant that somehow we are to turn away from those things that are present in our life as difficult. And the answer is no. And well, he knew it. He's simply making sure that I corrected this with you this week. And this is the point. You are, at this moment, pivoted in an explosion of light and consciousness and action. Some of those pieces of action are not pleasing to you because they hurt you, or they force you to hurt others because of the pain, whatever it might be. Now, in that moment, what happens if you consciously call on the doorway that lets the miracle worker appear is that that energy floods into the moment and provides a change of energy. Now, those of you who make soup, you know, every time you put something in it, it changes. You know, you do this on the conscious level all of the time. Oh, it needs more of this, it needs more of that, and you're very good at that. But when it comes to making the soup of your own awareness, you go on automatic and just assume that anybody has the right to pour anything into your soup, and you're going to sit there? Would they do that? Would you allow that in your kitchen? Which is, well, certainly, go ahead, open up the cupboards, I don't care. I'm making vegetable soup, but whatever, you know, anything at all is fine. And so, would you allow this? Just on the physical plane itself, you would put boundaries out. Say, no, wait, this is my soup. You make your own soup. Get yourself a pot. All right? And that knowing. Now, does this mean you go around fighting everybody and say, don't you say that, you can't say it? No. Why bother? What a way to live your life, always on the attack. Pointless and very hard on the shoulder muscles. No, you must try another way. Must find another way. Now, what is the way? Located very, very close to the conscious mind is a door. Behind that door is that energy that moves instantly into the moment and begins to make the changes necessary. The reason for the sorrow at the Christmas time is not always because of the Christ drama, but it's because of a desire to have the miracle worker born into your life. An energy that is so magical and so mystical and so alive in a different way from your conscious mind that it honestly changes your life. It makes it new again. The thing that makes life delightful is that every moment can be new. And what makes it new? What makes it new is opening those doorways and allowing the new perception to flood in so that you honestly don't see things the same way. Now, literally speaking, you are that part of the awareness that decides what is going to fill this world. I asked you last month that those of you who really cared, that you would spend this month and next working on keeping the doorways open. The doorways of hope, the doorways of wonder, of beauty, of change, and the miracle worker is a part of this. It's a part of this plan. This planet is waiting for a miracle to happen. So that one day, that's what everyone is wishing for, no matter what their state of consciousness, waiting for a miracle. And the miracle cannot come from outside until enough of you bring in the wonder of the miracle worker so that enough of that energy is alive and out there so that the changes can be made on the planetary cellular basis. Until that time, if it stays in your mind and doesn't get out, it doesn't have the same efficacy. Again, I repeat, this wonderful thing that you abuse with your mind because it's either too fat or too skinny or too old or too young or too stubborn or too, I don't know. It is the vessel through which the miracles take place in the world. When you decide to open the doors so that it can pour out ever again in abundance, you will find your miracles right under your nose. Let us talk for a moment about the Course in Miracles, because I can see by the psyche here that many of you have participated in that to one extent or other. The interesting thing about it is that the woman who did the bringing it through did it through opening the doorway of the miracle worker. You see? What was Christ known for in your mind? You know, he did many things. But the things that stand in the mind, because you weren't there to experience his love, if you'd experienced his love, you wouldn't have cared what he did. If you'd experienced his love, the miracles would have been nothing. But there are many people who couldn't see him, and even in his presence couldn't feel him. So the miracle worker had to become activated. And one of the things that he is known for are his miracles. We talk about Francis. What is he known for? His miracles. because the miracle worker is that which you yearn for. The heart yearns for the miracle of making all things well, all things whole, all things healed, all things loved and loving. And that's the job of the miracle worker. You can call it anything you want. Those of you who prefer the Christian tradition, so be it. It doesn't matter what it is. You have the capability of performing small, large, gigantic, and minute miracles constantly. One of the reasons that the Course in Miracles runs with such power in the world is because it asks you to open the door to the miracle worker. You can call it anything you want. Now, any of you who decides that you want the miracle worker to see things for you, to feel things for you, to speak for you, to live with you, not instead of you, but with you, as that part of you that is alive and active in the world, all you need to do is turn to it. It is the most accessible part of all of those great archetypes of power and consciousness. All you have to do is to ask. Let me repeat. The more concrete you can make this, the greater the gift that you give yourself. Hearing the words today will make no difference, because only a small part of your mind believes me. The part of you that has to begin to believe is the part that will be absolutely sure when you begin to feel the miracle alive right in front of you. If you are not feeling love, and you know that what you really want is love, because love is the only healer, and you say, I've looked everywhere and I can't find it. Give it for me. In that instance of going back to the giving, give it for me, you will find the body begins to relax, the cells begin to open, something changes. The moment that it changes, you will, part of you that is the doubter, and you all have the doubter who is also an archetype, the doubter is ever present until you so construct your life so that it has a place, but not a large place. You can constantly become more and more aware of the reality of the miracle worker, overcoming the voice of the doubter, because you experience it 10 times a day, 20 times, 100 times, 400, until you get to the place where everyone who has ever reached that strange state that you call sainthood says, every moment is a miracle. Every moment is the presence. Every moment is the knowing. Every moment in the knowing that something comes in to almost instantly silence the hope, the joy, the beauty, the life, the wonder, the belief, the love. Have you watched yourself? You have a moment of, let's say you're having difficulty with someone, and all of a sudden in a moment, or you've lost someone who's gone to another consciousness, to another way of life, and there's sorrow, and all of a sudden there's a moment of, it's all right, and then the doubter arises and overrides again. If you watch yourself carefully, you will see this overriding of the doubter. Now, how to get a hold? The same thing can be done to be very, very clear about the doubter by doing what I have asked you to do before, which is to take your paper, to be very clear about the fact that you want to see the face of the doubter. You want to know what he looks like, what she looks like, what it looks like. And you can do this not only once, but day after day after day. At the end of a day, just ask it, where were you alive and active? What happened? Where were you speaking rather than the faith and the beauty and the wonder? Begin to relate to it in a way that is alive. It will begin to tell you what it looks like, where it came from. You know, there was a time, and I mean this with all sincerity, when there were no therapists because you had spiritual teachers. And in many ways, the therapists are standing as best they can in that stead. But in the old days, it was the job of the teacher, who knew that you had accumulated past, keeping the doubter alive. But the teachers knew that personification, to personify things, made them much more alive. So in all of the old rituals, you have the doubter. You have, in these wonderful North American Indian ceremonies, you have the dark, you have the outrageous, you have the chaotic. And even deeper into the older traditions past this one, in planets, excuse me, that's too cosmic, in world cultures now extinct, you had even more of an awareness of the personification of the doubter, of the lustful, of the all of those things that you've taken and forgotten were part of you. And they would outpicture them on the stage so that you, the observer, could participate and then go home and claim your own people that were on that stage. They are your people. So now, when you are so far away from the natural, when the world is so constructed that you don't have time, you know, between 9 to 5 to go to your teacher, because where are they anyway? You know, they're too busy in the, you know, working the computer next to yours. There's just not a lot of time. But when you begin to realize that just because the teachers are not there, the inner landscape remains and has the power every moment of your life to come out into the world and teach you, then you'll begin to take these inner, wonderful energy systems as real. The doubter has a very positive purpose. Find it out and be free. The doubter is there for a deep, almost overwhelmingly important reason. You find out why the doubter is alive and needs to be alive, and you're on your way to freedom. There is a reason for the doubter. It is not a mistake. It is not something that crept in when nobody was looking. You know, the trouble with God is it's always looking, because everything is God. Nothing ever can get by the light and the power of the One. There's only One. So in that inner journey, bringing out the doubter, understanding it, making it your friend, then you will be able to participate with that which it's its job to keep away from you, which is hope, which is knowing, which is experience. The doubter's job is very, very important. But when the great earth teachers decided to go on for various reasons, mostly because of energy, you are left with having to find your own way on the inner landscape, and you can do it. It's up to you. The degree to which you want to make them real and speak to you in a dialogue of life is the degree to which you will know who you are. They speak to you in your dreams, and you call them fantasy. They speak to you in the world of nature, and you don't pay attention. They speak to you in your own being, constantly calling you, and you're too busy. You're too busy. So, in a time when time is the premium, you have to make time to ask it to come forward, to ask all of the amazing powers of the inner landscape to come out, so you can know who you are. You can know who you are. Some of you will go one way. Some of you will go another. Some of you will simply wait until the rising of the no-self. And that's a valid way. But you find the no-self within as you become aware of all of the rest that is there. Some of you will find your way through knowing the many selves, but you find them within. And you just call. That's it. And wait. Call and wait. Sit and wait. With your pencil ready, with your colors ready, and just begin. I can see by the presence in this room that some of you took me seriously last month when I asked that you keep the doorways open. And I thank you. And I thank you. And I thank you. But I ask you once again, this is an important time. This is an important time. So please, in the next month, the doorways please open as full as you can, paying as much attention to the pouring out of as you possibly can. If you've ever decided to give a gift to this planet, do it now. Please do it now. In truth, you see, in some magically wondrous way, the miracle worker can show you the miracle of your life, which is what you're looking for. You don't want, when you think of the Christ being born, you don't want a savior so much as you want to know that your life holds total beauty, total wonder, total usefulness. You are here for a reason. And each breath that you bring into this world has purpose. You're not awash on a sea of nothing. And the miracle worker can show you that. You see, when that energy is enlightened in you, then you become the miracle worker. Then you have all those wonderful things. What you look upon, you leave love. What you touch is left feeling whole, feeling alive, feeling useful, necessary, deeply important. You begin to feel the miracle of your own life. You know, my friends, you can overcome any obstacle at all, as long as you know that a miracle lies within it. And that's what happens every night of your life, or those of you that sleep in the day. You return to the source. You see and feel and know again the miraculous thing that you're doing here. And you say again and yet again, this is worth doing. This is worth doing. Your life, exactly as it's manifesting now, is worth doing. Without it, the whole is not perfect. This is worth doing. Never forget. And please allow the miracle worker to let you know. Dr. Aiken is right. I move into my 11th year. And those of you who are interested in numbers, the 11 has certain interesting things that go with it. At this time, I would like to thank so deeply so many of you who have walked with me. I know it has not always been easy. If we can do our job well, as we move into a new cycle, there is a possibility of information that can be even more transformative. But two things are necessary. Mary Margaret's continuing to work through her life. And that many of you choose to put into the physical world some of the things that we've shared. Not as a mental idea, but as a cellular expression in the world. If that energy is strong enough, if it builds a strong enough sphere of power, then we can bring in some things that you may never have heard before, but that I think you'll want to hear. So, I invite any of you who wish to help, to help. You see, it takes a certain state of consciousness to bring things in, and you can help tremendously. Mary Margaret cannot do it alone. It's not possible. So, to any extent that you use any of the material that we have shared, to that extent, the energy is strong enough to take us to what I hope to be a new level. But whatever the outcome, I have greatly enjoyed the journey thus far. And I would like to thank all of you who time and again come. Thank you. The miracle worker has, as one of the strongest parts of its awareness to you, that of peace of the heart. Peace of the heart. Peace of the heart. Of knowing that whatever life is doing with you in this moment, the peace of the heart is possible. Ask and it will be given unto you. I'm very grateful for all of you for coming.